is dispatched to Jesus from the family saying Lazarus is sick. Depending on where Jesus was at the time, and there's some debate about it, either someone was dispatched and Lazarus virtually died a second later, or most likely someone was dispatched, they arrived, and Jesus was at least 2 days' travel away. So someone comes and says, Lazarus is sick. Jesus acknowledges that and says, I understand he's sick. And then, listening to the Father's guidance, he waits 2 more days. And then when finding out that Lazarus has died, he enunciates that to his disciples. And he says that he's gone to sleep. They don't quite pick it up. He says, I'll say it clearly, he's dead. And I'm going to go back down. Now, they pick up that this is a dangerous time, because what we know, and the Gospel of John has been recording how Jesus has been more and more open about his calling and definition of his self-identity, claiming and stating quite clearly that he is the Son of God. And conversely, the amount of opposition that the Jewish nation and the Jewish leaders in particular are bringing towards him is increasing. And so the last thing we have recorded was Jesus stood there and he announced in his temple in Solomon's colonnade about who he was. They try to grab hold of him. And so he's gone north. Very quickly, the Father tells him he's got to go back south again. And Thomas, called Didymus, at least picks up this is a really dangerous thing to do. If you go down there, you're going to die. He says, we'll go with you anyway. So Thomas might be doubting Thomas as most people's minds, but he's not without courage. And so Jesus heads back down there. And he takes 2 more days to travel back down. So by the time we get down to when he's actually interacting with the remaining families, Martha and Mary, Lazarus, their brother, has been dead for 4 days. 4 days is important because within the culture, it was written a few years later, but actually within the culture it was at the time, that it took a certain amount of time for the soul to depart the body. And it took at least 3 days. So by being in the tomb for 4 days, he was properly dead. When you're dealing with an account of someone bringing somebody back to life, being properly dead is an important factor. This wasn't a case of Lazarus, you know, just passed out and around in a tomb for 24 hours and then Jesus woke him back up again. This was, they'd gone through the rites of the burial. They knew he was dead. They got to the point, as Mary said, if you open that back up now, it's going to smell. Even though we've done the correct paramedics and wrapped him properly and all these sorts of things, it's still not a good place to be. But that's Jesus all over, isn't it? If the stench of death is upon one particular grave, how much more is the stench of death upon the world? It didn't stop him becoming incarnate and joining with us. Well, there's various applications we can get. The first one I want to get is, we work to a divine plan. If we genuinely believe that we worship a God who is totally in control, then surely he has a divine plan. And Jesus demonstrates this divine plan by acceding to the Father's request and basically staying put for 2 days. And this goes against all cultural norms. Come and help. Come and save him. Come and do this. That's what the request is. And bear in mind, this is probably, arguably, the closest non-family members that Jesus had. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are well recognized as good friends, and that he loves them. And yet still, because the Father says to him, stay here, he holds tight. And only when told does he then move on. So, you and I, as believers of Jesus and following who he is, also work to a divine plan. It would help if we listened to what it is. We spend more time listening and less time suddenly acting. More time dwelling with God to find out what he wants us to do and when he wants us to do it, and simply always going out and rushing off and doing something. Because the world will will fill our time. There is no doubt about it. Warren Wiersbe says this: when we find ourselves confronted by disease, disappointment, delay, and even death, our only encouragement is the word of God. We must live by faith, not by sight. What's ironic about this particular following of the Father's plan is by bringing life back to Lazarus, this time's the start of the process of Jesus' death. By bringing life to Lazarus, we have death to Jesus. But that's okay, because that's part of the Father's plan. So as he gets towards the actual area, Martha goes out to see him. And Jesus, in his interaction, comes out with one of his other I am statements. In John 11, 25 and 26, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. What's interesting, if you follow the interactions, Martha grasps the eternal significance of this. She understands, yes, I know in the future you're talking about that, I've got that. Jesus is saying, actually, you don't realize this. And, well, to be honest, why would she? I'm going to demonstrate it now. Because all the way while I've been saying, I am, you know, before Abraham was, I am the resurrection of life, the claims that Jesus has been saying about himself using the name Jesus is stating, I equate myself with God. And now I'm going to prove it. And I said last week when we were speaking about various things that Jesus demonstrated, his authority and power over disease, his authority and power over nature, and now finally, the last one, he's going to demonstrate his authority and power over death. Because if you're going to equate yourself to God and claim that, you need to be able to back it up. This is what he's doing right now. Just as an aside, this is always quite an interesting part about things. Jesus has this interaction with Martha. Then Martha goes back and says to Mary, Jesus wants to see. That's not recorded in the discussion, obviously. A lot of what goes on in the Bible is not actually recorded. There's lots of interactions going on. But Martha goes back to Mary and says, Mary, the Lord wants to see you. And so Mary, with Martha, picks herself up and heads off. And it's at that point, all the official mourners who come from Jerusalem, because it's only about a mile and a half away, all the official mourners go with her. No one went with Martha. Martha went off by herself. As soon as Mary leaves, everybody goes with Mary. It's a simple truth in life that sometimes people are more popular than others. If you happen to be one of the popular people, and you'll know it if you're sitting in this room, think about it. If you have the influence over others that they're willing to follow you, lead well. Don't just take things for granted. Use the influence you have to bring blessing to people. That's just a side note. So they come up and they have discussion. And it recalls that Jesus had this anger, is described in some translations, or this feeling welling up inside him. And there's been various different debates about what was he getting angry about. He was getting angry about the fact that his friend had died. Well, it seems a strange sort of thing to get angry about, knowing that what's about to happen, as he did. I mean, if you're kind of two challenges we need to do. We need to develop, like Jesus, tension, which goes along with understanding the grief that comes with existing in a world which has been held in the bondage of sin, with the compassion of being able to reach out to those trapped in that bondage in a loving manner and saying there is a better way. You and I, as agents of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, are the people who should be saying things as a better way. I'm willing to walk with you in it. And it really is walk with you. So we need to have this tension in our life which says we understand sin and we don't agree with it, but we're willing to mingle with it because we're willing to believe in Christ. And then marvelous things happen. Jesus calls to his Father, speaks loudly, calls out loud so people understand. He says, I'm doing this, Lord. So I know you hear me, but I want them to know you hear me. It's a beautiful lesson for them. Lazarus, come out. And as I've often said, if he hadn't put the word Lazarus in there, anybody who's in that tomb would have walked out. I believe in a God who is so powerful that his very voice brings the dead back to life. It's incredible to think. And so Lazarus comes out. And he comes out and he's wrapped in his grave clothes and Jesus says, unwrap him. What do you think they did at that point? Do you think they unwrapped him or did they think they just left him there? They unwrapped him. Technically, I mean, he was technically dead. I mean, they can see him walking around now, but technically he was dead. By touching him, they become unclean. You think they kind of went, no, I'm not going to touch him. It takes a community to bring people from the dead back to life. And so Jesus calls people and they come from death back to life and then Jesus instructs them as the community and wrap them. Take the bondages which was on him off. Get him back to living the way he's meant to be. And the same is true for you and I because Jesus still calls people. Sometimes we see, and I've known people who have had the power and authority of Christ and now straight up physical dead back to life. I've not gone, this is someone's way to what the Father has chosen. I know people who've done that. They've accounted to me what happened when people came from death back to life. But more importantly, Jesus is bringing the dead back to life every single day when he calls people into his kingdom. Because of his death and resurrection, the hope of the living stems for us. And we won't go from being separated from God, i.e. walking, dead men walking, to becoming living people. But then he says, go and wrap these people. Come on, disciple them properly. Because it takes a community to disciple a new believer. This isn't just a case of going, yeah, great. Okay, could you imagine if people came into our church and everyone just wrapped and stood there in grave clothes? Can we do it? I said, well, they used to be dead, but they're alive now. Have we unwrapped them? Oh, no. We know they're living. We can see them breathing a bit. They're not doing much. Surely we kind of go, you're just crazy. So why is it when there's new believers coming into our church, we kind of like shuffle away and don't take up responsibility? Because all of us have got some part of our relationship with Jesus Christ we can offer and share to a new believer. With myself, when I came a new believer, a wonderful guy called Andrew came up to me and said, just want to encourage you, some days, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's going to be just great, absolutely superb. You're going to just blast along. And then other days, you're going to think God's as far away as possible he could be. And you've got to be aware of that. And that one simple bit of advice helped me as a new believer on days when things weren't going right. There were many of them. I just remember that because I was encouraged by somebody who walked further than I had, and they gave me a heads up. And all of us here believe in Jesus Christ. And many of us here have been long-term it's this. Imagine Jesus having brought Lazarus back to life, and the people done the right thing, and they've got him and taken all his grave clothes off. Lazarus goes back to his house and he has a good time with his sisters and all those who were mourning and now happy. Then the next day, Jesus goes, knocks on the door and says, "I'll come see Lazarus. How's he going?" Mary and Martha sort of open the door. Jesus says, "What's going on? Why is he not here? Where is he? He's gone back to the grave." So you wander along and you join with Jesus and you stare into the grave, and there's Lazarus sat inside the grave, fully clothed, sat in the grave. Doing in here? You're not dead, you're alive. Says Lazarus, "I just feel more comfortable in here. You know, I got used to it. No one bothered me. You know?" And you kind of think to yourself, "Well, hang on a second, you've just been given life. Go out and live it." But let me tell you, Satan will try to batter you to the grave. And that's what he does, because he doesn't like seeing people die. He doesn't like seeing disciples come out. He doesn't like seeing people released from the bondage they've been for so long. And so he'll batter you and he'll hit you and he'll try to force you back to get to the point of, obviously we're not going to crawl back into the physical grave, but we're going to be so beaten down that we refuse to talk about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We refuse to stand up for what we actually believe in, because it just becomes easier and we won't be bothered if we just keep. Let's not tell anyone we believe in Jesus Christ, because it's just easier that way. If we've been given new life, let's live it. If we've been called from death into new life, let's go out there and live it to the full. Let's rely upon the Holy Spirit and truly go forward and say, "This is the chance we've been given." So as we come to this coming week, these next 7 days, consider, what is it God would have us do which would declare that we are now living that which was once dead? How are we different now because the Holy Spirit resides within us than before that time? And how does that change what we're doing? Because that defines who we are, and that proclaims who Jesus is within our life. And just like we would never expect to find Lazarus once called from that grave hanging around the grave, we should not expect you and I, once called from death into life, to go back to hiding, because we are God's proclamation of his glory and his majesty. That's encouraging, isn't it? You're God's proclamation of his glory and majesty. You are God's holiness applied, which is why you're righteous. Because he's applied his holiness to your life, and you are now righteous in his sight. Amen. Thank you. That's great, isn't it? That's good news. Cool. So this is who we should be. So can I encourage you as we consider,